Tim Hardaway has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Before the break, I alluded to the fact that you had a very special relationship with Manute Bol. Tell me what you thought of him the first time you ever saw him, both in person and on a basketball court.
When I first saw him, I mean, you see him on TV, you're like, wow. But when you see him in person, you like, wow. I mean, like, wow. I never seen a guy 7'7". You know, I mean, I was like, wow. The first thing, you know, we talked about some stuff. He said, you want number 10, don't you? I said, yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you about that. He said, it's going to cost you $500,000. I said, that's how much I'm making, Manute. He said, exactly. I said, that's all right. I take number 5. So, you know, that's where that relationship started. But, I mean, he was a great person. He cared about the team. He cared about individuals. He was a remarkable person. And if anybody ever met him and talked to him, that will stick in their mind how great of a person he was, and gave people the time of day, and wanted to see people succeed in life. That was Manute Bol.
He was an Inca warrior. He was 7'7", as you pointed out, but he was as thin as he was tall, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was as thin as he was tall, but he was strong too. Now, he wasn't like, you know, not strong. He was strong too. And I asked him, you know, we asked him, about, you know, killing that lion and everything. He said, hey, you know, that's something that we had to do. And I went out there and I had to kill a lion and to prove my manhood. And, you know, he said, that's what we had to do. And luckily he did it. It was a big lion, but luckily he did it.
You were traded to the Miami Heat. And usually when a player gets traded first time around in sports, because guys don't stay with teams their entire career these days, was that hurtful to you?
Yes, it was hurtful to me. I thought I did want to stay with the Golden State Warriors and finish my career there. But, you know, like you said, it's very, very rare that happens. And Golden State, the Warriors, great organization, greatest fans, I think, in the world, because only thing they want you to do is give effort. That's all they want you to do. If you give effort, they're going to sell out each and every night. I remember we wasn't that good, but we gave effort. The fans, it was sold out at the Coliseum each and every night. And they gave us a warm welcome each and every night, and the fans loved us. Even though, you know, we wasn't winning at times, they loved us and they showed how much they loved us. And those fans out there today, when I go to the arena and see the arena, and you see the fans, it's fans there when I was there that are still there and they're still rooting that team on. And that's what makes the Golden State Warriors so terrific. And when I went to Miami, it was just a new beginning. I just had to, you know, start off with a new beginning. And, you know, I went there and had a big man and Alonzo Mourning, had another Hall of Fame coach and Pat Riley. And, you know, it was just fake. You know, I went from one good team to another good team with a good coach, with a good organization. And, you know, I like I said, I've been blessed. I've been with Hall of Fame coaches, Don Haskins, Don Nelson, and Pat Riley. And they all taught me a lot about basketball, and I taught them a lot about, you know, basketball too, and how I like to play basketball. So I can't help but to have, you know, understand why my career was so good.
Yeah, with the Heat, I really think that you blossomed, because you had some of your best seasons when you were with them. You averaged 18 to 23 points and 8 to 10 assists per game. And what was it about that period of time? Was it a mature time in your basketball life as well as a settling time in your personal life?
No question. It was a mature life, like you said, in my basketball life, and a settling in my personal life. And you know, I was I was settled in. It wasn't about accolades. It wasn't about nothing else but trying to win a championship. And that's what Pat Riley wanted to do. He brought a team in that wanted to win a championship. And you know, when you bring in, you know, somebody like P.J. Brown, Ike Austin, Dan Marley, myself, Alonzo Mourning, then you have, you know, LeSean Leonard and a bunch of other guys on the team. But, you know, those first six core guys, we didn't have nothing to prove. We already proven ourselves. Only thing we needed to do was go out and win and try to win a championship. And that was our main goal. It wasn't nothing about being selfish. We was all in it together, and we all wanted to win together. And like I said before, we all went out. We all had fun. Another guy, Keith Askins, was on the team. You know, he was the captain. He was the catalyst. He used to tell us, you know, he wasn't the elder statement, but he was like the guy that was always there. If you need somebody to talk to, you talk to him. And he was the consummate pro each and every day. So, you know, everybody was together, and it was about us. It wasn't about nobody else except us and trying to do what we're supposed to do, trying to win a championship. And it was just fitting for us to be together at that particular time.
Let me ask you about a particular season, the 96-97 season, because you were a legitimate MVP candidate and you were leading the Heat to the best record in franchise history. What was it that brought everything together for Tim Hardaway?
Well, you know, you got guys that cared about one another. You got guys that wanted to win for one another. You got guys that went out there and gave their all each and every night and never complained and played the game of basketball the way it's supposed to have been played. And after the game, we hung out with each other. You know, we went to go eat with each other. Our families went to eat with us. You know, it was just a camaraderie that you care for each and everybody on your team. And you had a coach that, and I asked him, you know, I said, why do we practice 2.5 hours? He said, the game is 2.5 hours. And I was like, wow, you know, you never think that as a basketball player, but if you practice for 2.5 hours and you at hard, I mean really hard, and you go out there and play the way you practice, and the game is much easier because most of the guys that's playing these games are not practicing except for an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. So your energy level and your adrenaline level at the 2.5 hour or even overtime, you still at your peak. You still can run hard. You still can do stuff hard. So that's what it was all about. It was being the most conditioned, most prepared team in the NBA, and that's what we were. And we got to the Eastern Conference Final, and we just ran into the Bulls.
A lot of people ran into the Bulls.
Right.
You know, Tim, my friends that are in sports, they have all told me something at one point, and that is the key to success in professional sports is staying even keeled. My friend like Joe Morgan, who played baseball and had a Hall of Fame career, once said to me, he said, you know, when you go 4-for-4, you better remember the days you go 0-for-4. Now, I'm going to use that as a lead into, you had a lot of great moments. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Tell me about that game, which is the worst game shooting performance in NBA history. You went 0-for-17 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Did you? I've got to believe somebody who is as good as you are might be thinking, wait a minute, they've got to check that basket. Somebody put a lid on that damn thing.
You know what happened? And I tell folks this. I walked into the locker room, and I said, wow, this is bright yellow in here. And I said, what is this for? They said, the yellow is to calm you down and to really relax you in a state where you are so relaxed that you don't want to go out there and play the game of basketball. I guess the locker room did its job because at one particular moment, I tell everybody this story, one particular morning, I stole the basketball, and I went in, and I knew, I don't want to say this, but I tell everybody this, as I was dribbling up the court by myself on a fast break, I knew I was going to miss the layup. I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to miss this layup in front of everybody. And as I got closer, I got scared. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to miss this layup, but I got to take a layup. Nobody in front of me. I'm by myself. So I went up. I missed the layup. And I went over 17 for the game. But I still had like 12 to 15 assists, and most of my assists was to Chris Mullin and Rod Higgins and the rest of the guys. And I had about 8 or 9 rebounds. But we still won the game in overtime. I didn't go out with an L. We still won the game in overtime. Even though I went 0 for 17, yes, I went 0 for 17, we still won the game. So I can't say that. I mean, I don't have a loss by that game. We won that game.
Also, your number 10 was retired by the Miami Heat. And before I let you go here, I want to talk about another highlight of your career, and that is the fact that you picked up a gold medal for the United States playing Olympic basketball. And I know that you had been on a couple of other national teams, but you had an injury. But this was an opportunity for you to experience the Olympic movement. Tell me what that was like for you.
Great. Absolutely marvelous. To play for your country, to put on that uniform with USA on it. It's a lot of pride. It's a lot of intangibles go with it. And you just want to go out there and just win for your country and show that you are the best in the world. And that's how we practice each and every day. We practice against each other hard. So when we got in the games, it would be hard against those other teams and to make them understand we are the best in the world. But it was great putting on every time I put on that uniform, I had a smile on my face. And I thank God that have me on this team with these guys that was on that team with me to play and to win that gold medal. It was just something that you really can't say to try to make somebody understand it. They have to be in that predicament, and it was just a great marvelous time.
Aside from the basketball games themselves, did you guys feel like you were a rock star band?
No question. Everywhere we went, we felt, people, USA, that's great, man. That's just walking down the street, USA, hey, Tim, getting autographs, taking pictures. Anybody on the team, everybody went through the same thing, no matter if you was the 12th man, which, you played and everybody knew you. You was part of the team. You was part of something great in 2000. You got a gold medal, and that was the best part of it. And you played for your country. That was great.
We only have 90 seconds left, but when you were standing on that winner's stand and they were raising the flag and you had gotten your gold medal and they were playing the national anthem, I've had my friends that have been in that same similar situation in basketball kind of say that that's when they become reflective about their life and their career. Was it that way for you?
No question. You reflect. When that national anthem is being played, you reflect. You go back to sixth grade, seventh grade, all the way up to high school, all the way up to college, all the way up to the NBA, to that particular moment, how hard and how much work you put into being at that particular moment with the gold medal and listening to the national anthem. You reflect on a lot of things. You reflect on your life with your kids, and if you have kids at that time, and with your wife, if you had a wife at that time. So, and your parents and how they brought you up. So that person is exactly right. You reflect on everything.
In 30 seconds, what do you want the fans to remember about Tim Hardaway? What do you think your legacy is, Timmy?
Well, I play with great toughness. I brought, brought whatever it is to the game, 150%. I gave my team a chance to win each and every night, and I gave my team confidence that we'd go out there and beat anybody any time, any day. And, I want the fans to remember me that, I am the original crossover king, and I try to put a smile on each and every fan's face each and every time I went out there and played the game of basketball.
Tim, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. This has been so insightful and fun to reflect on what I think is a Hall of Fame career for Tim Hardaway. You are welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Please come back and join us again, Tim.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate you having me on, and I had a lot of fun. And, yes, I will come back again and do this again. This was great.
Tim Hardaway with us, the former point guard. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.